Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Listen live on the Odyssey app.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Got some good news, got some bad news to kick things off today. Mahoney, what would you like first there, my friend?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Yeah, some bad news. I know that you just got back from a trip, yep. And so you don't have to worry about this immediately, but Audrey, you do have some stuff coming up, right?
Like yeah, because I'm planning.
Yeah, lost luggage, 30% higher than pre-pandemic levels. And I don't really know exactly why. The number of travelers reporting stranded luggage jumped 30% from 2019.
Oh, I could probably say that it has something to do with all of the thousands upon thousands of flights that have been canceled and rerouted, and yeah. They have no idea what to do with any of the luggage.
Have you guys ever had your luggage lost?
Thank God, no, but I get so scared every time I'm taking like an extended trip where I'm checking a bag. Because if I'm going for even like 4 or 5 days, I can do a carry-on, and I prefer to do a carry-on just because I know
sure.
It's with me.
Yeah.
But anything longer than that, you got to check a bag, and you're like,
if they lose your bag when you're coming home, you're like, whatever, it's dirty laundry.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It happened to me one time, and it was last year. So it was kind of sort of post-pandemic, but not really. I mean, it was out of 2020, but it was in 2021. And I was going to Myrtle Beach to see family, and they didn't just lose one of my bags. They also lost the car seat for my kid.
Oh, no.
And so I'm standing in the airport. I'm like, I can't leave without the car seat because what am I supposed to do? Just hold the baby?
Get a beer, put that baby on your lap, and drive like it's 1981.
True.
And that's exactly what I did, Mahoney, because I'm a responsible dad.
Went in Myrtle Beach.
I'm a fun dad.
Went in Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach, are like, it's fine.
It's legal.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
When
urgent.
They start learning how this is their permit year.
So if you, you're nearly three, it's fine. Delta Airlines deployed a wide-body plane without passengers to collect 1,000 stranded bags. Just to give you an idea of how bad it's been,
wow.
They're sending whole airplanes to pick up stranded bags.
Have you guys seen some of the photos that
yes.
Have come out from this?
It's like a sea of bags.
Yeah. I mean, even if it makes me kind of regret getting the black suitcase, even though it's just so classic and it's so clean. But if you're in a sea of other black suitcases,
oh, yeah.
You're
yeah.
Never going to find your suitcase.
My wife has the ugliest luggage, and she'll probably, she's not, I don't know if she'll.
Is she one of those people? Because my wife's the same way. She has, and I kid you not, it's a Jessica Simpson bag
yeah.
That she has had since she was probably 19 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And she refuses, I'm like, Jessica Simpson luggage? Who bought that for you? But she's had it, and she just refuses to update it.
Say, my wife has the same stuff she had in high school. Her dad bought her a nice set of luggage, but it was 20 years ago, and that was like pre-rollers, or pre-spinners,
yeah.
And it's just the roller, so I always have to get stuck carrying hers because it's so much.
Slugging that thing along.
Meanwhile, yeah. I bought new luggage like 2-3 years ago. Mine glides perfectly,
yeah.
But hers is ugly, so it does stick out.
Yours glides so good, I bet that you can just give it a push, and it gets going in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know
I ghost
about?
Ride that whip.
Yeah. So some good news today as well. They have cured hemophilia B, and if you're not familiar with that, it's a pretty rare clotting disorder that very few people have. They're correcting the rare genetic mutation that causes severe bleeding, but obviously people that suffer from this, it's a huge problem, and they have figured out how to cure it in a major breakthrough.
Dude, I love science. Can we just talk about how cool science is for one hot second?
I think about that all the time. I'm like, I'm so glad that there are so many people that are so much smarter than me.
But they never fix the stuff that, like, I personally need.
Like what?
Like my inabilities to, like, refrain from shopping online.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney
Morning
Show.
You need a pill for that?
I do need a pill. A daily dose.
She's
a
on
serotonin.
She's on Amazon right now searching for that pill to
Some
make her stop
shopping
online.
Some people might say it's like antidepressant, like medication, but you know what? Whatever. Fine.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
Well, Audrey, you were just talking about how much you love shopping online. And how it gives you that little serotonin boost when you do the double click. Can you tell us what the last thing that you purchased online was?
I don't know if I can say it out loud.
What do you mean?
I think it actually was like lingerie or something.
Audrey.
You would buy that online? I feel like that would be an in-person
sure.
thing.
Oh, that no. That would be. You want to go to a store and try on lingerie?
It was thongs in Celsius. Not kidding.
What's Celsius?
It's an
Celsius,
energy drink.
Yeah.
Thongs, Celsius, tank top and a bathing suit.
She's fun. She is having a summer, yo.
All on Amazon?
All on Amazon. Because they come, like, for the thongs, whatever, they're just, like, cotton. So it's just, you can get, like, the multi-pack for, like, the ones that you wear with jeans and stuff. Like, I don't care if they get, like, denim on them or whatever. So, yeah, just... Celsius, also, have you never had a Celsius? They are so good and so addicting.
There was somebody that was hustling me on trying Celsius when we went on vacation because, you know, we got like a VRBO or whatever, and we shared it with another couple, and they got some Celsius, and it was in the fridge, and I'm just not an energy drink guy, but what do you like about it? So
I actually like, because I feel like I can drink one and then work out without that itchy. It doesn't make me feel like Red Bull does. It doesn't make me feel like Monster does. I don't get that, like, you know, the sometimes when you're drinking even coffee or just mass amounts of caffeine and you get that tight chest or that, like, tingling in your hands from, like, being, it feels like almost like a caffeine overdose
There's no such thing.
Or like, even Bang energy drinks sometimes.
See, I feel...
It doesn't have the sugar.
I don't know if it's just me because I put all sorts of horrible things into my body on a regular basis. But energy drinks, I just can't do. I'm really surprised just because how healthy you are.
Yeah.
That because, you are involved
well,
with those.
They have actually marketed them to where it's the fitness energy drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I'm a sucker for marketing. If you have made it to where it's in a gym, I'm like, oh, that's healthy for me.
I mean, wouldn't doing like a shot of espresso?
It actually, you know, yes, science.
Probably be better?
Yeah, scientists have said that if you just drink black coffee before you work out, it's healthier and just as much energy as it is.
But they don't have cool looking cans.
They don't. And the can
we
does
love
matter.
Cool looking cans.
Damn right we do.
Yes, we do. Lingerie from Amazon.
Yeah. Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave and Mahoney fam, let me ask you. How do you guys deal with roommates who, like, don't have the money or refuse to pay rent?
Message deleted.
Kick them out.
I remember how stressful that was, though. I mean, the idea of kicking them out, sure, but then you torch the friendship if there is one there, right? And also, then you just have to try to find a new roommate, and it's still going to be a couple of months until you get that rent money flowing again. It's super stressful.
I dealt with this more recently than I would say, like, 5-6 years ago when I was living in Houston with your brother.
Mm-hmm.
There would be months where he would forget to pay.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he moved out on his own.
So you would just pay.
Does he still owe you money?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. He and I probably have the same accountant.
So did
don't
you
keep track of anything?
Yeah.
So did you pay his
portion?
Yeah, I mean,
portion? But his like it was like a smaller percentage.
See, because I remember in college, a lot of the apartment complexes, the way that they were set up was specifically designed so that this type of thing was solely on the person who wasn't able to pay only. So you were contracted by room and in an apartment versus, you know, one whole apartment. Yeah, exactly.
See, I had a roommate.
Which I think is, like, pretty smart. That way you're not, like, financially obligated.
I had a roommate that was a rich kid. So every single month, like clockwork, his parents would actually pay rent for him. And that was awesome until his parents started thinking that we were doing drugs, because we were. And I swear to God, his mom bugged the house. There was things that she knew that there was no way that she would have been able to know unless she either, like, tapped the phones or bugged the house or something. Like, it was wild.
Like, you were doing what? Smoking weed?
Smoking weed.
Like,
yeah.
We were doing drugs.
Yeah, I know.
It's illegal in, like, 18 states. Like, how stupid... How stupid, in retrospect, were all of those laws and just people overreacting?
It was apparent, though, like, being concerned about her kid. Like, I get that she was like, oh, my God, they're doing something illegal. They're smoking the devil's lettuce.
Have you ever had to tell a parent that you were smoking weed?
No.
In college, again, I was trying to get Adderall prescribed to me by a doctor. God. I was a part of the RX generation. I was a Ritalin kid. I started taking it when I was, like, in second grade. And then college came around. And I was like, you know, I would like to party and also stay up a little bit to do these 36-page papers. I'm not going to sacrifice partying for my academia. So
as you don't.
I would like some Adderall, please. And they were like, do you smoke weed? And I'm pretty sure, like, I'd smoked, like, the day before. And I was like, my mom was in the room. And I did one of those where I, like, looked over at her and looked at the doctor. Because you don't want to say, It's kind of like saying whether or not you've had sexual partners to the doctor whenever your parents are in the room, right?
Yeah.
Like that awkward tension. And I was like, yeah. And they were like, well, maybe that's why you're doing poorly in school. And I'm like,
what,
no.
Your mom said that or the doctor?
The doctor did.
Oh, shut up, doctor. You're like, I agree.
I agree. Well, and maybe it's part of the partying as well. But that's not
but
what we're here for today.
Please leave a message after the tone. Wait, no, WebMD.
Exactly.
That smell better than they taste. Garlic fries, fajitas. What else you got, everyone?
Message deleted.
Fajitas taste delicious. I love fajitas.
I do like fajitas. I think there are bad fajitas out there, though. I mean,
for sure. But, I mean, you know, overcooked meat.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and not say a single food, but an entire restaurant, a Burger King. You know how they pump all that smoke? Like, first off, you're not cooking that many burgers. I don't know why you have to have that much smoke coming out of the roof, Burger King. But every time I drive past one, I'm like,
char-broiled.
Ooh, that flame-broiled burger smells delicious. And every time I eat Burger King, it tastes like a boot.
Flip it and reverse it. The things that stink that taste good? Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts, yeah.
I feel like Brussels sprouts are only good if they're like basically bacon. Blackened and covered in like bacon oil grease. And bacon.
Yeah, but I mean, whenever they smell like same with like broccoli. Broccoli smells like farts too. Sometimes.
Like, why am I covering these vegetables? Like, why
butter?
Is there an illusion that I'm trying to do something healthy by ordering like the Brussels sprouts? I mean, they're going to taste good, but you're doing it because you want to feel good. You're like, I'm just going to order like the pork belly.
It's like
when
you get the side of asparagus and you're like, oh, it's so healthy, but then it's just swimming in butter.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you talking about if you go to a restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you go to a restaurant, do you only order those type of things if you're around company who you're not normally around? Because like, I feel like if we're all amongst like our partners or whatever, you're not getting the asparagus or the Brussels sprouts. You're getting like the mashed potatoes.
Potatoes that you have.
The macaroni. Yeah.
I've got a friend in town in 2 days and I'm going to a nice steakhouse with them, and my wife told me this like last night. She was like, hey, when we're out to dinner with them, order something light.
What?
Yeah.
She's pre-shaming you?
Yeah.
Order something light. Like what? Like halibut? Like what do you
mean? I don't
know.
It was just weird.
It's a steakhouse.
Yeah, it is.
You
a
get
steak.
A steak. You don't go to a steakhouse to get something light.
Well, I mean, you could just say, I'm proteining up, baby. I'm getting this protein on.
I'm bulking.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this was a rerun, Mahoney, but no, this is actually just your life once again. What do you think that Mahoney did to make his wife angry?
Oh,
Audrey?
Gosh. I don't know. Probably. Did you fart again?
No.
Man, why? That doesn't make her mad. That just.
You made her gag to the point where she
and that wasn't
was just
fart
like,
get up and go to the bathroom.
That was my armpits.
That's true.
Oh,
that was.
Yeah,
and we were on vacation, and it was because the shirts I buy are from China, and they, you know, they start to smell funky after about 6 hours.
Are you blaming China for you smelling bad?
Yeah.
If we're going to blame China for anything, it's stanky pits.
Is that what it is?
Dude,
okay.
For real. It's
I
the
smell
shirts.
Bad. China.
China.
China's fault.
I am not a stinky person by nature.
It's the China BO.
You would have to move.
Millions of people.
You would have to move
across
a lot to get a
total
bunch
stink.
Of a bunch of preparation or perspiration, but me
on the perspiration?
Yeah.
Perspiration, I believe.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Same difference.
But yeah, it's fine.
So last night, you know, my wife, she has been under the weather for like a week. Now, and so she's been going to bed a lot earlier than we normally do.
Because you guys still turn in pretty early, but when you say a lot earlier than you normally do, like the sun is still
like
up?
Like 6 p.m.
I mean, we're talking 7:30.
Shoo-wee.
So, yeah, the sun is still up.
She's been going to bed, and, like, I've tried to do it a couple nights where I laid in bed, we, like, watched some shows, and then, like, she falls asleep, and then I'm just sitting on my phone for, like, 3 hours
sure
trying to fall asleep. But like last night I was my guy friends were playing Call of Duty and as I wanted, like, I hadn't played a lot of Call of Duty because we were on vacation, so I was like, I watched an episode of Modern Family with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
She fell asleep.
Yep.
And I kind of like sneak out of bed.
You sneak out of bed like it's a one night stand sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of like, but you like, you push down on the side of the mattress and then you roll.
Yeah.
You know that move? Yeah. That's the move. So it doesn't get all like crazy.
It doesn't turn into like a water bed where things start going like a little shaky and wake them up.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's how I roll in too. It's the exact opposite. You push down and you roll into bed when you're coming back. But things were, and I shut my office door. Things are going, you know, pretty well. But, man, we clutch at this amazing win, and I could not help myself.
So you're freaking out.
And so I'm like, we had been losing on such a losing streak that this was just like a cathartic, like, yeah!
Oh, my Mahoney.
And you woke her up from down the hall because you were screaming so loud at this video game win?
Did she come barging in? How did she tell you that she had been woken up?
Oh, yeah. She came in, and it was like, I don't know if you've ever seen that meme of a big bird kicking in a door.
Oh. Yes!
And just stared.
Did she kick your door open?
And so I went back to bed.
Why did you do that? Why?
Why did you do that, Terry?
There was a certain person, a person so vile and arrogant, the middle ground between horrible and useless, a culinary and retail nightmare, a person which we call Karen. These are the Karen Chronicles.
Maybe it's just because information travels so much faster now, or maybe it's because people really are that much more entitled. There's people that live in these bubbles, Mahoney, and they don't think that the rest of the world exists like it actually does. When they're in their little echo chamber of Karening and Darening, they don't realize that most people look at them and go, what are you doing, man?
We are living in the Karen-sance. They believe that the service industry was put on this earth to service every whim and need that they desire.
This is an interesting one. This is a Burger King in Hawaiian Gardens, California. It has 2 out of 5 stars based on 51 reviews. So normally we go with well-reviewed places, but Martin actually said 5 out of 5. Pamela at the window was super nice. I love coming to this location. Their food is always fresh.
Okay.
Diana F. said 5 out of 5. Just left this location. The employees showed great compassion to an older woman paying with coins who had to run out to her car for more.
Aw. That is nice and kind.
Somebody can't, like, cover the extra 80 cents for this old lady?
True. Good point, okay. Dave.
Or is that old lady scamming? I know how you do a granny.
Karen N., not a great experience, said 1 out of 5 stars. Marco, the manager, overcharged me. I ordered a Whopper combo and an additional Whopper, which was supposed to be free because I used a survey coupon. He told me it was $9.45. How do you figure? He said he rung it up separately. So I called customer service and complained. And I was supposed to get a call back or an email reply from corporate. But so far, no one has contacted me. 1 out of 5.
Sometimes mistakes and accidents happen.
I mean, or just like don't go with the second Whopper.
Are you food shaming her?
I mean, a little bit. Who needs 2 Whoppers? That's a lot.
You ever been to a fast food place where they're like, hey, order it this way and you can save a bunch of money?
Yes. Well, I mean, online I've seen people starting to do that. I've never had somebody who's actually like taught me.
I had that happen in person like a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I felt like they were like, no. Actually, it was a barbecue joint. And they were like, no, order it this way. Get the 3-meat combo. Move this around there. Save me. $9.
Whoa, $9 is a lot of dollars.
You should leave a good review.
I left a good tip.
Did you?
I did.
Even better. Let's head to the Habit Bar and Grill, San Diego. 4 out of 5 stars based on 298 reviews. Jessica C. said 5 out of 5. Did not expect much when I stumbled on this place, but the food and service, amazing. Elizabeth S. 5 out of 5. Always friendly staff and delicious food. Darren, none too pleased. 1 out of 5 stars. You know the saying, don't judge a book by its cover? Well, it's true. This place may look all fancy and great, but their burger was the worst burger I've ever had. It was so terrible, it tasted like it was cooked on the street asphalt while cars drove by and absorbed the smell of the exhaust into the taste. I'm not even sure it was real beef. Maybe game meat from the desert? I think I might have to go get checked for rabies or some kind of disease as a result of eating this burger. I managed to force it down 1 bite at a time before leaving, but I am never going back.
One thing that I find so interesting about people is that if you just are not enjoying the meal, why force yourself
to
eat it?
Why finish it?
You don't have to eat it.
Why finish it?
Yeah.
You don't have to eat it at all, ever. If you take 1 bite of something, and our brains are seriously wired by, like, evolution and, like, adaptation. If something tastes bad, it's probably going to hurt your stomach. Why are you continuing to eat it? That's so weird to me. So bizarre.
Well, because he paid for it.
Just go back.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Man, there's some people in the Redneck Report that really just cut through it like a hot knife through butter. I mean, there's some individuals where you're like, now that is an arrest. If you're going to go down, that is amazing. And this,
make a statement,
I think qualifies. A woman was accused of having a pitchfork and a whip outside of a Publix.
What is this, like a Roman gladiator coliseum style battle that she was going into?
I just can't imagine the scenario where you're angry about something. Okay. You're like, all right, I'm going to go handle this.
To the Publix.
Let me go to Publix. Let me see, what do I need to bring? Yes, pitchfork, and then fantastic. I also have a whip. Load those up.
You got something for close, and you got your distance. I mean,
true.
But again, speaking about Roman gladiators, I never understood the guy with the little trident thing and the net. That's the one I know. Like, why would you pick that? You got a big ass battle axe over there, and you're going with the net.
What was the net for?
To slow people down. Then you'd stab them with the pitchfork.
Were you just try and capture them with the net?
I mean, I guess all I really know is what I've seen in Gladiator.
So that's our history.
Yeah, that's historically accurate.
This Publix manager said that this particular lady, Lisa Ann Sloan, 56 years old, was trying to sell teddy bears behind the store earlier in the day.
Okay.
They told troopers that Sloan used the pitchfork to stab a minivan. She appeared to be highly intoxicated and on some sort of stimulant drug. But did not have an odor of alcohol.
Dude, if you are a person who drives a minivan and it gets stabbed with a pitchfork, that is a story you are telling for the rest of your life.
Did some lady named Lisa stab the wood paneling on the side of your Dodge Caravan? She did. Yeah,
if any car were to be stabbed, the stabbing is definitely happening on a minivan, more so than any other car.
When the officers approached her, she said, "I feel no pain and God is in control," which is really scary for a lady with a pitchfork and a whip.
Please tell me they tased her right after that. Then she felt pain.
Of course. Okay, so a pitchfork, whip, and a whole bunch of teddy bears that she's selling. Mm. Not in front of, behind the Publix.
Build-A-Bear has really gone downhill, man.
Get your bears here. Extra stuffing.
She's been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon because no one messes with minivans.
Where would you even buy a pitchfork? You know, I know a lot of times when we're joking about, doing whatever, to grab your pitchforks, but I have never seen a pitchfork in the wild.
Tractor Supply.
40 years on the planet, I've never seen a pitchfork in person.
We probably have never been to, a farm.
I've been to farms.
You've never been in, your grandparents' shed? Because they all had pitchforks.
It feels a little racist. Yeah. I grab your pitchforks. We're going. In the 1940s, that probably wasn't that great.
Yeah, you're out trying to shut something down.
But, pitchforks, I feel like, is definitely, a rural thing. I don't feel like anybody in, a metropolitan area is really, hoarding pitchforks for any reason. No.
I have been to somebody's house who has a fork the size of a pitchfork on their wall in their kitchen.
Oh, they got that at Hobby Lobby. Yeah. Gather here.
Home Goods, yeah.
We only dance in this kitchen.
Eat. No kidding, it's a kitchen. No kidding. Thanks.
But it's in cursive, so,
it's fancy.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Man bun. It's the mullet you can hide in a hat.
Message deleted.
Are man buns still a thing, Audrey?
I was just thinking that myself. I think that men have long hair, but I don't think it's as much of a, I gotta have the man bun. I gotta start growing my hair out to have the man bun.
Because that was a hipster vibe for a long time, but I feel like the hipster vibe is, with man buns, is gone, right?
Yeah, I feel it's moved on to mullets. Yeah.
Well, I'm not even sure if we even call hipsters anymore. Hipsters was very 2010.
Yeah, that was a time.
It's not even.
But I think the hipsters still exist, but they're 40 now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so is there a new hipster? And if there is a new hipster, because we all have that image in our head of the super skinny jeans, the New York style boots, whatever those specific boots are called.
There are. There are those douches. Think about that one radio guy we know who's a douche nationally.
Yeah.
Who's 26?
Yeah.
Or so, and wears all the stupid stuff and loves Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Yep.
That guy in the dumb bucket hats, and you're trying to desperately bring back the 90s. What did you call that? An E-boy?
So that's the E-culture.
Yeah.
Or E-boy, E-girls or whatever. But I mean, I don't necessarily know if, I don't know if we're really calling them that anymore. This thing serve as it's not even really, it's almost slang now, right? It's seasonal. I feel like things are so seasonal now. And yeah. I don't know if you really have like hipsters of right now. I don't know the term. If there is one, let us know. 833-YO-DUMMY.
Texas. Let us know.
Are we actually asking people to text us to inform us as to what's cool?
I mean, but maybe. No, I would like to know.
Again, I don't particularly care, and I love that I'm at a place in my life where I don't give one damn what anybody who is like 20 years old and younger thinks about what I do and how uncool I am.
I'm with you on that. Like when I decide that I like something, I just go full throttle. Like my wife got kind of miffed with me the other day because a whole Amazon box showed up and it was just full of these shorts that I like. Because I decided
you have them in every color?
I decided there's a whole bunch of different designs, right?
Okay.
But I decided that I like them after buying a couple of pairs to try them out. And so I bought like 20 pairs. And she's like, did you really just buy like 20 pairs? I'm like, yeah, because I know that I like
That's
them.
That's what I do with shirts. Yeah. Same thing. I mean, I think even though I have probably 100 different like Hawaiian shirts, Tommy Bahamas, whatever, maybe a little bit more. It's because so I don't have to think. I can just go to my closet and grab anyone and just wear it with a pair of jeans and be good.
See, I feel like that is so Gen X and even millennials as well. We are all just so used to the trends being the same. Men's fashion has never changed so much, I feel like, until recently. Gen Z, they have people dressing like the 70s and the 80s, the mullets, 90s, the mustaches.
They did that in the 90s, too, though. You don't remember in the 90s, there was a big 70s and 60s. That's like a trend that has been going on.
Low-rise jeans, Von Dutch hats.
Yes, they always go back to what was popular.
If there's anything that we've learned, it's that we are all basic. Like, we're just not inventive. Everything is just in cycles.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is that, yes, Mahoney, you're right. People do go back to, like, 70s trends. But it's all at once. Like, I feel like there's usually, like, you're like, okay, wide leg jeans are, like, the bell bottoms were back in the early 2000s. I remember having a pair of glitter ones from Old Navy.
Oh, like, you bad bitch.
Like, you know, because it was just, like, the 70s trends were kind of coming back. Yeah. But now it's, like, it's just a melting pot of fashion. Anything goes right now.
But
don't
also,
you feel like that?
Well, I think there's more options now than there were. I mean, I think when we were, you know, you look at the 90s, we were at the mercy of what was at the mall.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, like, literally, I knew what was at my mall near my house.
Whatever was in that glass case at JCPenney's was, like, the in-style, or when you'd walk by, like, the Abercrombie, whatever was on the mannequins, that was the style. Now it's, like, the Kendall Jenner decides what's
cool. Did you watch
that
Abercrombie documentary yet?
No.
Dude, it's, I mean, because we were such saps for that. We were paying... You know, to us,
we had no business buying a $70
shirt. I had three Abercrombie shirts, but those were like my like go to, you know, and because I had to like get a job to buy a stupid shirt.
My grandparents took me shopping at Abercrombie one time, and same thing, I got like three shirts, and I wore them every week, just in rotation because I could not believe that I had three Abercrombie shirts.
I was such a douche that I'm pretty sure my eighth grade photo. I had not one pop collar.
Oh, yes.
I had the double green and pink popped collar in Abercrombie.
Oh, hold up. My first radio job, I worked at an oldies station. So, like, I mean, we were playing, like, 40s, 50s. And then, you know, like, it was the only place that would hire me. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't care. They just needed a body. And I was 20 or 21 years old going to that place, and I was wearing the double popped polos around the oldie station.
Yeah. They're like, who is this little whippersnapper coming around here?
He's dressed great.
He's going to be wanting to play music from the 60s.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Okay, you know how clothing labels have the size on them? Mm-hmm. The one that has the size that fits all, they really should stop doing that because some people just don't fit into it. Love the show, guys. Have a great day.
Message deleted.
Is there clothing that has one size fits all? I know there's like hats and stuff, but there's clothing like that too?
So I got a bathing suit cover up on Amazon the other day, and it was a one size fits all. And I got it in the mail, and I'm 5'6". And she's so right. Just all sizing, or especially for women, you never know what size you are, really. But whenever it says one size fits all, you're like, okay, it's going to be like kind of like oversized, or it's going to be like tighter, depending on like what the model looks like that's wearing it. It comes to It's like the wish version of something that you're going to get. Like, it comes up to my elbows. It comes up to, basically, it's like a crop top. I'm like, how in the world is this a one-size-fits-all anything?
Yeah.
Do men have one-size-fits-all stuff?
I don't think so. That's why I was so perplexed.
Even hats,
that.
Man. I got a big-ass head. My head doesn't fit in most hats.
Unless yeah, like, you're a goofy-ass head, man.
Would that be considered a trucker hat? Like a one-size-fits-all or like a snapback?
Maybe a snapback. The
snapbacks, yeah.
But like, yeah, the fitted ones, like, I never know, like, because they have like XL, L, XL, whatever, and they have a little bit of a stretch. I never know which one to pick.
You don't know like which size, like what size fitted hat you are?
No, I don't.
Huh.
I don't, I feel like I'm one of those guys, never looks good in a hat.
Well, you're going to have to. I mean, not, never mind.
Are you making
I'm gonna
a hair joke?
Dave, I'm going to join a hair club for men. If it starts to go too much.
Are you thinking that it's going?
Nah.
I was going to say, I mean,
it's pushing back a little bit, but like luckily the normal spot in the very back, like the male, traditional male baldness isn't like too bad.
Did your dad and...
My dad's bald. My dad's bald. Yeah. Oh.
Would you ever go bald?
I don't... I feel like I'm 40 and I still got most of it.
You do. Yeah. So, you don't need to be shaving your head. That's not what I mean, but...
No, no, definitely don't shave your head. Uh-huh. We've seen Mahoney with a shaved head. He looks like a serial killer.
I can't be walking around with a shaved head and a Tommy Bahama. Everybody's going to think I'm a raging racist.
Yep.
Okay, heard your thing about the Blooming Onions and Texas Roadhouse, and I hate to say this. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with Mahoney on this one. Texas Roadhouse, in my opinion, in Louisville, Kentucky, is the pinnacle of chain, mid-range, middle-class, family eateries.
Message deleted.
You get the hell off this radio show, sir. That
don't
is sacrilege. The Bloomin' Onion
you don't
from
even
Outback Steakhouse.
You haven't been to an Outback with your family in a decade.
You don't know that's
I
that's,
do know
that's,
that.
That's accurate.
Dude, there's
you see your Instagram stories.
Like, seriously, they just opened a new Texas Roadhouse near us.
Oh,
they
did they?
Did.
Yeah, I mean, like within like three or four miles.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like what? Go there. Treat yourself. Get some of them cheese fries.
No,
get
if they'd open an Outback Steakhouse close to us,
you
I would go to that.
I would
put on my old Outback shirt that I still have in my closet with all the flair on it, and I'd go there and ask for a discount.
There's an Outback right there. Literally, three miles from
and
here.
You haven't even gone.
No, I have been there.
I feel like a lot of those restaurants and just kind of a lot of things in general, don't you feel like they used to be so much better back in the day?
Were they better back in the day, or have our have we gotten too highfalutin and too uppity?
Well, I mean, when I was a kid coming out, I remember I used to think it was fancy to go to Applebee's, right? Because it was. It was a treat. Like we never went there
because it was new.
Well, with my family growing up, there were six kids. Like they're not taking us even to like casual. It'd be like Wendy's, you know.
My dad was the general manager of the, I think it was the second busiest TGI Fridays in America.
Was that their claim to fame? Like, we're the second
busiest.
No,
I mean, they
TGI
were doing
Fridays.
Like, I think $10 million a year in revenue. Yeah.
No,
for real. Dude,
that's
this place.
A lot of chicken tenders.
But they had 10 managers and they had 40 cooks and 100 wait staff. I mean, it was unreal how busy this place was. And back then, I mean, that was in the 80s. I mean, they were paying them pretty well back then. But then, like, you know, slowly but surely cut down all the managers, and now it's a shell of what it used to be. So it's like, I do finally remember, like, Domino's being way better, TGI Fridays being way better in the 80s.
It was, because also there wasn't as much competition. We just have so much more options that just really just beat out, like, an Applebee's or a Ruby Tuesday. Yeah, Ruby Tuesday.
In the small town
anymore?
That I grew up in Brainerd, Minnesota, there was, like, one Domino's.
And it was the Domino's.
And it was the Domino's, and it slapped.
Every time.
And that son of a bitch was there within 30 minutes every time.
Because they had those commercials where it's like, if he's not there in 4 minutes, it's a free pizza.
Yes, he killed a family of 12 on the way over.
That's why, legit, that's why they stopped that.
I know. Yeah. Wish they'd bring him back.
The David Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So, Audrey, we were talking about it the other day, of your friend who's single and she's looking and she's interested in trying to meet a guy. And you asked us a question that I don't think we had a good answer to at
all.
You
did not at all.
Where are all the single guys that are not just trolling on dating apps, but actually like out in the world?
In the wild.
Where are the good single guys recently divorced?
Same.
I mean, for real.
I mean, at my age, if you've not already been married, then like, why are you still single? You know what I mean? And
isn't that weird? It's like if you have baggage, you're sort of like, okay, that makes sense.
It makes more sense.
Like if you have a divorce and a couple of kids, then it's cool. If you're like, because we have a good friend of ours who's, you know, been a great friend of mine for 20 some years now, and he is a really good looking guy in phenomenal shape, great job, all of that stuff.
But he's commitment phobe.
But he's like 42, and he doesn't. He's never been married or any of that stuff.
Has he ever been in a long-term relationship?
He's been in lots of long-term relationships to the point where I'm always like, hey,
how is it not working?
Are you going to put a ring on that sort of thing? Because it's kind of at that point, and then he'll just straight
it
out.
It scares him.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But total catch. Like a great, great looking guy. Again, great job, all that stuff. But so the reason I bring it up again is because we got a text message from 619 to our text line 833-YO-DUMMY said, the single guys aren't out on the weekends anymore. They're gaming. And so,
okay.
And this is from a girl. She said, a lot of the guys that I've met won't even go out on the weekends unless it's like a birthday or a concert or a special event. So just become a gamer girl and you'll find all the single guys that you'll ever want to hear from.
Okay. So this is an interesting point because I mean, I really do think that because my friend and I, we're not really like immersing ourselves into daily weekend extracurricular activities like that, right? And everybody who you are finding, say, at the club, the bar, or whatever, like, that's not really somebody who I personally, like, am going to go, like, yeah, let me see what you're about, because it kind of seems like more hookup culture, right? Like, yes. This is going to be more flingy than it is going to most likely have anything like romance bloom from it. I mean, just reality, right? That's just, you're going out, if I'm 30 and you're probably 30 plus, like, it, you know, we're adults.
Right.
So, like, the odds are more in the hookup culture of that. So it's really interesting because if I'm at home on the couch on the weekends, that means that other single people are out on the couch on the weekends. And how are we ever going to find each other?
Actually, so it's funny because, you know, we were talking about this and I was like, yeah, I don't have any single friends. And then this just jogged memory. I actually have two single friends who are both good looking guys. One really good looking. And we play Call of Duty every weekend for hours.
See, there it is.
Okay, hold on. This kind of goes back to our conversation where we were talking about, is that purposefully hunting then? Because if we were going to go to a cigar lounge.
You're hunting.
That's hunting.
If you go to a country club and hang out at the bar.
That's hunting.
You're hunting. But I mean, the guys are doing the same thing.
Not in gaming world.
Oh, not in the gaming world. You're right. It's different.
So if I were to all of a sudden start gaming, be like this ditzy dumb, because I would have to be ditzy and dumb because I don't know anything about gaming. That's exactly how it would come off.
Yeah.
That would be, first of all, unattractive. And secondly, it would just seriously seem, oh, yeah, he's very good looking. Hello.
I could friend up with him.
Yeah.
He's a DJ as well.
Oh, shit.
Not like a us DJ who just talk and say stupid stuff.
Like a real DJ?
But that kind of really is. It kind of really does put a damper on being single, though. Thinking about all of us just sitting there being single on the couch.
But that's what you want to find. That's the person you know.
But how do you find them?
Like that, can you imagine anything worse, Mahoney, than if your wife decided to leave you because she wised up and you went out to the club and you met somebody at the club?
You wouldn't find somebody at the club.
You would never find me there.
You don't.
No, but let's say that you went to the club one night and you met someone and you're like, this person's awesome. But then you could never be mad at them for being a club person because that's where you met them.
Yeah.
No, I mean, sure, true. But I mean, I think that's if you're going there, you're doing that with intention and with a purpose of having that serve you in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, consciously, if you are a very self-aware person, I don't think you're really searching for romance when you can barely hear the words are coming out of their mouth. You know what I mean? Like, it's physical appearance only.
You should get her on Twitch, man. Like,
she'd be cute on Twitch.
I think she would make a lot of friends there.
I think so, too.
And you could pop in on occasion.
Hey.
That's right. Make guest appearances.
Does it make me her Twitch pimp? just cut me a 10% finder's fee. I could set her up. No, I don't know. It's just a really interesting time to be single for everybody right now. I mean, it makes me thankful that my marriage was failing during the pandemic, because I at least had some companionship during that time. Because if I was single and lurking during the pandemic, that would have, I don't even know how I would have survived, because you really are only doing.
Yeah, if you were locked away and like everything was, you know, had gone sideways and you split up during the pandemic, then you're just sitting there with nothing to do. You broke out of the gates
Perfect
like a,
time.
Like a damn horse.
Did. I did.
And I'm happy for you, man.
Yeehaw,
now, we just get your friend laid.
Are you saying I broke out of there like a horse? Like cowgirl?
No, it's like a, like horse racing. Oh. Like there's a gate that opens and then
Like the Kentucky
You're
Derby.
You're from Kentucky. You know this. You've been to a race.
I don't know. I thought it was like a reverse cowgirl joke.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present The Internet is Awesome.
Some of our favorite audio from the past few days. I mean, if the internet didn't exist, we would never have any idea how much this very, very drunk girl loves pizza. And who hasn't been here? Maybe it's pizza, maybe it's another food item, but I just feel like if you're at a certain level of drunkenness and you take the Uber home and you get some food delivered or whatever it is, maybe even force the Uber to go through the drive-thru. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
I haven't.
Often. What?
You haven't?
I have not.
Interesting.
Because I would feel...
Just buy them food.
I would feel embarrassed because, like, when I order at a fast food place, my order is like I've spent literally $68 on myself at a Jack in a Box in one trip.
How do you even do that?
That's a move.
You can get 15 tacos for $3.
I got like 8 tacos. I got all the sides, like the egg rolls, the cheese fries, the curly fries
combo.
Did you
Everything
actually
combo.
Get? All of the sides? Did you say give me all of
I
the sides?
I got like almost all of them.
Did you?
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, this girl, very drunk and very much in love with her pizza.
Oh, yes. There may not have been a better pizza than this. In the whole wide way.
Half singing, just totally in love, so excited to dig in.
When you are so hungry and you are so drunk and that food hits the lips, it is a truly magical moment.
It's like when you stumble out of a bar and there's that food cart there and they got
the hot
that
dog stand.
Dude,
the roadside hot dog stand.
Yeah.
Or I'll say this. When we lived in Houston, the roadside late night barbecue that I would get.
Right.
Dude,
such good barbecue.
Like, if I saw a barbecue pit or, you know, a barbecue
little
shack trailer.
Is basically like an outhouse.
No, a trailer. The guys who had the trailers behind their trucks in, like, a Kmart parking lot, and it was 1 a.m., I'm stopping no matter what. Like, my wife, I'd be on the phone with her driving home, and I would stop at those, and it was
so good.
There's a guy in St. Louis. His name is Steve Ewing. He's in a band called The Urge. They were a moderately successful ska band for a minute, toured with 311 in the 90s. But the lead singer, Steve Ewing, when, you know, touring wasn't paying the bills all the time, he opened up, he would go to all the strip clubs and bars in St. Louis and sit out there with a grill and grill hot dogs.
Yeah.
And sell them for like $20 a pop to all the drunk idiots walking outside of
$20 a pop for a hot dog.
Oh, and I paid it.
Oh, of course you did.
And he did that for years. Now owns 3 different hot dog restaurants.
Just because he's doing $20 hot dogs.
Do you want to hear a real funny story? I once paid about $20 for a hot dog when I walked out of a strip club, and I bought that $20 hot dog from one of my honey's ex-girlfriends.
She's a hot dog slinging outside of a
strip club. Yep.
We were there. I was with you.
Were you?
It was a Portuguese sausage.
It was a Portuguese sausage.
It was $20 outside the Spearmint Rhino.
And it was totally worth it.
Damn right it was.
I was barbecuing, man. I seen some fire just come out the window, man. The window busted out, man. Only thing I think first, man, make sure them ribs is right. And I ran in and got my family, man. Brung everybody out safely, man. I carry everybody out myself, man. First thing I got my kids, and I thought about my ribs. Like, I ain't gonna let my ribs burn and stuff because I take pride in what I do, man. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was hungry, man. I was like, man, put them ribs on there, man. It was frantic, man. It was real serious out there, man. I'm enjoying this barbecue, though, man. Have a good night, man. Hopefully they put us in a motel, man, you know what I mean? Because I ain't trying to come out the pockets. They owe me for that one, you feel me? Did I get any injuries? Oh, no, I ain't get no injuries and stuff except for all the smoke in my lungs and stuff. I already had smoke in my lungs, so I'm all right.
Mahoney. That's another man that loves his food so much.
No, that's Mahoney talking to his wife on the way home from Houston.
Did I get any injuries? Oh, no, I ain't get no injuries and stuff except for all the smoke in my lungs and stuff. I already had smoke in my lungs, so I'm all right.
Only difference is I'm not running in anywhere. I casually will walk.
Casual saunter. Let's head over to Fast Food Freakouts. This one from Taco Bell.
Yeah!
Taco, please.
Okay, but everybody knows you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying, howling all the time.
Crying all the time.
Crying all the time. Yeah, you ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. You ain't no friend of mine. But what's that?
No idea.
She didn't either.
Yeah.
She's just slapping them thighs.
Here it comes.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So newborn babies are the leading cause of cold dinners. Am I right, Dave? I mean, seriously, how many nights a week are you having to reheat your dinner?
Message deleted.
So at dinner, it's not that bad. But I will say that my wife is such a badass when it comes to taking care of the kids. Like, the way that she manages four little crazy kids at the same time. But to that point, it's not so much the dinners that are always getting cold. It's the coffee.
Oh.
Because, like, you wake up, let's call it like a lazy Saturday or Sunday morning, and she'll have a cup of coffee. And I've seen her have to go to the microwave and reheat that thing like three or four times because you just get distracted. When you're having the meal, it's like the kid, it's like everyone kind of sits down at the same time for us. You know, it's like a little family dinner. It's an event. But with the coffee, it's like everyone's just going about their normal craziness. And you even kind of forget about it for a second. And then that ends up being not a second, but 20 minutes. And then it's a cold cup of coffee and you got to reheat it. And it's just, you know, it's impossible to have a quiet morning.
My wife... Let me ask you this. If this is crazy or not. Speaking of coffee, it's cold. She brews her coffee at night for the morning and then puts it in the refrigerator.
That's just like an iced
cold
coffee.
Cold brew.
Yeah, it's cold brew. That's fine.
I feel like. But she drinks it out of a coffee cup.
Yeah. Huh.
Like, just it like, just feels like.
It would be less weird if it was like a plastic cup over ice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but she just puts it in the refrigerator. So like I'll open the fridge like late at night when I'm, you know, perusing as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like a coffee cup sitting in there.
Oh, she'll put it in the
in the refrigerator
out of an actual cold mug.
Yes,
too.
That's the weird. That always throws me.
Interesting.
I mean, I've done the whole save the coffee for the next morning thing as well, but I don't. I definitely put it over ice. But I don't necessarily know if that makes it
waters it down.
If maybe. It waters it down, or if it's just because I have been propagandized by big Starbucks to where I feel like it has to have ice cubes in order for it to be. Extra cold brew-esque.
Would you drink coffee if it didn't have caffeine?
Yes. Decaf. I've drank decaf before.
I've never drank decaf.
Okay, so because you don't actually like the taste of coffee,
no,
then
I
you
do
want
like the
effects.
Like I like the both.
Okay, but
why
now,
would I ever separate
if you
them?
Want the taste of coffee at like 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night?
I don't like the taste of coffee that much, but you don't like the taste of coffee either. You like the taste of creamer.
I like coffee. If I'm out
you
at
like
a restaurant
with creamer.
I'm one of those 100-year-old people that at the end of dinner, I like coffee.
I like coffee at the end of dinner.
No, it's nice.
Heck yeah, Mahoney.
I just prefer scotch.
If you're like at a family outing or
yeah,
something,
yeah,
no, you'll
especially if
scotch?
You're at a family outing.
Definitely a family outing.
That's fair. I mean, I guess there's just some instances
See,
where you're not always drinking.
I'll say this. Like, there are things that we have conditioned ourselves to consume because of what they do for us.
Yes.
And there is nothing that is harder to... Nobody drinks scotch the first time and goes, I love that.
Same thing with beer.
That's so true.
Nobody drinks beer for the first time and goes, that was delicious.
I think it would be different now. There are more delicious beers.
Still, it's...
Not when you're young.
You have
but
to,
scotch, I feel like, is the things we put in our mouth, that's the one that takes the longest to get used to.
It does. But now I love scotch, you know, because like there's good scotches and you find the one that you like.
Love.
Mm-hmm. Warm. Nice effect.
You drink hot scotch?
Not hot. Neat.
That sounds seriously.
You don't go ice cubes
so
at all?
So foul.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. But I'll drink it neat. Sure.
I feel like.
Oh,
I feel
God.
Like that's how you know you're
making
like,
me gag.
You get fancy. You got to
get
you
neat?
Feel, no, like there's no neat. There's no fancier liquor than scotch.
Right.
Like you're like, I should be rich. But instead,
I just spent my whole paycheck on this one tiny glass of McAllen.
Yep.
Dang it.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm
gotta be honest. I think the Running Up the Hill song, whatever that is, it's kind of getting overplayed. Every time I turn on the radio, I'm running up that hill. I'm kind of over it. Can we do something else? I know it's a good song, but like, can we do something else? Appreciate it. Thanks.
Message deleted.
My girl knows. My girl knows.
Audrey hates it too. Mahoney likes it.
I like that song.
It's one of those things.
It's
where
over though.
It's nostalgia. It was a thing for a moment. It's over.
You can play it on sporadically.
No, just go, take it out back and shoot it.
Well, okay. So, but here's the thing: is that it has ruined it. I mean, I know it's the original, but I don't like the original as much as I've liked the remakes. Like, I enjoy the Meg Myers version. I think that it's great. Whenever I hear that, though, it's now like tarnished to me because the way that viral and virility works in on social media, it ruins everything.
Yeah.
You don't get to enjoy it for that long. It's not savored. It's not like whenever you turn on the radio and you get excited that you're hearing that song because you haven't heard it all day. You've been at
it's
work.
It's almost like an alarm.
It is like an alarm. Yeah. It's triggering. It seriously sends this like visceral effect on my body where I'm just like, ugh, just like, turn it off.
Yeah.
Hey, Audrey, I got one for you. I got divorced at 40 years old, started dating, and we're going on, everything's going well, and she tells me that she's pregnant. And I have to tell her, you need to call Jesus because it's Immaculate Conception. Because 4 years before, I had a vasectomy. So enjoy the dating pool out there. It's interesting.
Message deleted.
Okay.
Cool.
I don't know. I'm Yeah.
She's living.
I'm just living. Yeah. I'm actually seeing someone.
We're talking about it.
Not like casual. We'll be casual about
okay.
it. But I'm seeing someone.
Good.
And I also would like this gentleman to know that vasectomies, you can actually still, like, it's not like 100%. Well, but also, like, can't, like, sometimes vasectomies, like, you can still get
very
pregnant.
Rare.
But,
very
like,
I mean,
very rare.
It's like the same as, like, effectiveness as, like, a condom. Because they're not 100%, but it's, like, pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So, like, I don't know. I don't think I have a lot of people who are like the doom and gloom of being single. And I'm like, I don't like that. It's
don't
kind
you
of like
hate that? It's,
telling
it's,
someone a story and then all of a sudden they have some negative version of whatever their story is. And it's like, your life's not my life.
It's the same thing with when I bought a boat. Everyone's like, the best day that you buy, you're happiest when you buy. And then when you sell, it's like, shut up. Let me enjoy it.
Why are you talking to people who talk like that? I think that's
that,
your first
that
problem.
That was my impression of you.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So I don't know if you heard about this, Mahoney, but Macy's has decided that they are pulling out. You always talk about a strong pullout game. Macy's
that's right.
pulling out of malls across America. So they're speeding up their plans to get out of the suburban shopping malls. And obviously malls are going through a pretty big transition right now. But it got me thinking about the favorite memories. I don't care about Macy's, but just mall memories from when you were a kid. Because the freedom that I used to feel when I would get dropped off at the mall by my parents. It didn't happen often. I mean, you know, my parents were pretty strict when I was growing up.
Every Friday night for me.
See, every Friday night.
Yeah, like middle school and like high school. Like,
did you have a routine? Would you go to the same place in the mall?
We'd go to the fancy mall because we were, you know, not rich, but not super poor, but like money was tight.
You were middle class.
Lower middle class. Up, yeah.
And so you'd go to the fancy mall so that way you could see a world that
I would normally
get to experience.
Would go there and try to meet girls from other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, there was a movie theater, a video game arcade place, and we would literally do laps around the mall trying to meet girls. And we did. It actually worked somewhat well on occasion.
You know what's funny is I had a friend whose dad owned a clothing store. It's called Brecken's in the mall where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a grown man's clothing store. So I had no business being in there. But I just remember that we used to like hanging out outside and in Brecken's because I would tell my friends like, yeah, my buddy's dad owns the place.
No.
But it was all like flannel shirts and stuff. Nothing that any kid would ever want. So no girl was ever impressed by that. But they'd be walking by like, hey, what's up? My friend's dad owns this place in here.
No, Dave.
Stacy in our chat, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney, said, my girlfriend and I would take the bus to the mall. We'd walk around to meet guys and steal bras.
Stealing at the mall is
That's where I got arrested for
that's
stealing.
That's like peak kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel like that is kind of your entryway into teenagerism.
We used to rip so much stuff off from the mall. God,
I never stole.
Stole all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Never.
And again, I got arrested for it, so I mean, do not recommend. But
we're not sitting here condoning stealing. I just feel like that. I feel like majority of people who I know have. I'm shocked that you didn't.
Never.
You never stole anything?
No, never. The only time I was even with somebody who stole something, it was a grocery store, and it was I was in like fourth or fifth grade, and Pogs were a big thing, and he stole a bunch of Pogs. And I didn't even, I wasn't even really like in on it that he was stealing Pogs.
Dude, I used to be such a little klepto. I'd steal cigarettes. I'd steal nudie magazines. Yeah. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Penthouse Forum letters.
Man.
Because those were smaller, easier to steal.
We would steal the Starbucks Frappuccino drinks from the gas station.
I would feel way too guilty then, you know. I don't like, obviously my moral compass has degraded plenty since I've, gotten older and much more jaded, but like as a young kid and like even as an early teenager, I don't know. And it's weird because my family's not religious. It wasn't like they beat this like thou shalt not steal and you this moral whatever into me. It's just I don't know. Maybe I was just like a little bitch that was afraid of consequences.
It was because you were an only kid and you always got everything that you wanted.
I didn't get everything I wanted.
Yeah, you did.
Pretty close. Did you guys have these sensor tags on your clothes back in the day then, or was that like a little later?
I remember when they came along, right? Because I remember a few people getting busted. I had friends that were stealing stuff. They didn't know about the sensor tags, and then sure enough, would walk out with the sensor tags. But then we also realized when the sensor tags came along, not the clothes ones, but on different items, like in the grocery store, with the little magnetic ones with the sticky thing,
the sticker
adhesive.
Ones. Yeah.
And so we would put them on our friends. So that
that was a good time.
Even though they weren't stealing something, they would beep when they went out.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was back when a security guard would chase you down the parking lot, whoop your ass.
Beat your ass, yeah.
And now it's just like, they're like, go ahead, steal that 75-inch OLED TV. We don't care. We ain't going to bat an eye.
Yeah.
We used to know exactly who was stealing based on who had the giant holes in their clothes.
Yep.
Because they would have to rip the tags off.
Or the person that would try to pop the tag off and then it had ink in it.
You
ever see that? And have like a big purple blot.
It would always be really sweet, though, whenever you had a friend who got that little sensor tag remover because they worked at a clothing store.
Well, you got that after, the internet. We didn't know how to get anything back in the day, pre-online shopping.
Right.
But, when you were, a teenager, that Amazon was actually a thing.
Yeah. Well, we would actually just, hope that somebody would be in our friend group who worked at Aeropostale
I had a friend that worked at American Eagle, and I'd go out there with a stack of clothes, and they would ring up one thing and bag it all up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was so sweet.
Yeah.
Can't that happen now? When don't you wish you had somebody that hooked you up now, but
worked at the Ferrari Louis dealership?
Yeah.
Cover your ears.
These are all big popular songs that you've heard many times over the years, but they are covered by people on the internet. So these people actually do these covers and they go, that's the one. I nailed it right there. I'm uploading that bad boy. And some of these have a whole bunch of views. Others, in the 10 to 12 range. But that's not going to stop us from trying to give them their spotlight, their moment, Mahoney.
Dave, one of the things we've always liked to do is, shine a spotlight on new and upcoming artists. The next, Beatles, Elvis, Bon Jovi.
Okay.
You just named the biggest three artists of all time.
Taco, the band from the 80s. I don't know if you remember
biggest
Taco.
Biggest four of all time. Good job, yeah.
All were discovered in traditional ways, but all the new artists going to be found on the internet.
Audrey, you get the option. Do you want to go first or second on the first one?
Number one, please.
If you get the artist and the song, you get a full point. If you get the artist or the song, you get a half point. If you get neither of those, Mahoney will have a chance to steal. Here we go. 30 seconds on the clock. Good luck. Oof.
Okay, so I know it's 30 Seconds to Mars, but what is the song? Marry me, marry me. What is it? Oh no, it's right there. It's Fleet. It's gone.
All right, you got the artist. We'll give you a half point.
Is that called Bury Me?
It's in quotations.
Yeah, so Bury Me is the second part of it. It's The Kill.
Bury Me.
The Kill. But Bury Me, we'll give Mahoney a half point because he did get Bury Me, which is close enough because that is
Part of the track. Part of the title.
Is Jared Leto hot or creepy now with the cult?
He is. Honestly, I'm going to tell you, if we only saw Jared Leto from the bottom down, that would be okay for the rest of my time. Like, I mean, I think that the top half of him, including his brain, I'm...
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, because he's got that cult where he just dresses up in white. All of the women, because it's only women, will go out into the desert with him, and they just do
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It.
Yes.
No,
perfect.
Man, that's weird.
Jared Leto nailed it.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Wacko. Total wacko.
All right, here you go, Mahoney. 30 seconds on the clock for you. Good luck.
Not to Marsh. That is Audio Slave and Like a Stone.
Full point for Mahoney. Well done. All right, Audrey, Mahoney has 1.5. You only have a half point. You're looking for a full point here to try to tie it up. Good luck. That's 30. I was digging that.
Creep Radiohead?
Yeah. Full point. Very
nice. I like that version. How many views did that have?
80s synth.
Do we know how many views that thing had on it?
1,600.
That's not enough. That's not nearly enough.
That was really good. An 80s vibe. Yeah, man. Was that the band Taco?
It was not.
Not Taco.
All right. So it comes down to this. Each of you have 1.5 points. We go to the bonus round. Ring in by saying your name when you think you know the correct answer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop the track.
Are you going to stop the track?
I'm going to stop the track so Mahoney doesn't cheat like he always does.
I don't like hearing. We're depriving our listeners.
But you cheat.
I don't cheat.
Oh, you cheat.
Okay, let's stop the track, but then we'll have to finish it out.
Okay, here we go.
A bridge made, a board ship, a big house with a king size bed. You had enough. You ship them out.
Audrey.
Mahoney.
Audrey.
You give love a bad name?
No.
Let's keep it going.
Mahoney?
You rang in. No, you rang in.
I get the option to hear the rest.
No, you don't.
I do.
You're making up
I do.
Rules, Dave.
I do. Play
That's
the rest.
Cheap.
I mean, technically, you rang in first and you had the first crack at it.
That's so cheap.
Play the rest.
Okay, we got 15 more seconds.
Dollars up, down, you better buy the pound. The claim is on you, the sides are on me. So what do you do? That's guaranteed. Hey, little girl.
He still doesn't know.
I thought it might have been AC/DC, but it's not. Oh God. Sure I'll just go. Is it AC/DC?
AC/DC for the win.
Okay, there we go.
What was that?
Money talks. We needed a winner.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Call or text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
Audrey, have you ever had somebody lie and say that they hooked up with you when you have not, in fact, hooked up with them?
No, actually.
Because it happened to me.
What?
I know. It's so exciting. I'm so flattered.
Wait, I know. It's not like a prize at all.
Recently?
This is crazier than somebody pretending. Because still, when somebody was pretending to be you many years ago.
So there was some event. They had business cards with my name on them and were like going to this event. And that's one thing.
Wait, no. This is how this happened recently?
This happened very recently, yes.
What?
Okay. I need. Okay. All of the tea. Hang on, let me adjust my seat.
Yeah, I gotta move.
I got a wedgie that I've had for a minute. Let me pick this.
So they told this to my brother.
Which brother? Was it your youngest brother or your
James?
James.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there's this girl that he ran into, doesn't know her that well, and
is she like in the industry?
Kind of. And they're having a conversation, and she's like, "You look like somebody that I know." And me and James do look a lot alike.
You the Farrah genes are strong.
Mm-hmm.
All your brothers look alike.
And she goes, "You look like somebody that I know." And he's like, "Yeah, you know, my name is James Farrah." And she goes, "Oh, yeah, you look just like Dave Farrah, who I know really well." And James goes, "Oh, you know my brother. Like, how do you know him?" And she goes, let's just say I know him really well.
You're joking.
And he's telling me this, and I
can just imagine his face. Did his jaw drop and be like, wait, what are you talking about?
He's like, I don't care. Like, whatever.
He just probably was interrogating her. Like, do tell. What do you mean?
It would be one thing if it was like, or saying to your wife.
Right.
Or in front of
your brother.
Right. My brother, like, he doesn't care. Right.
Yeah. But he's probably interrogating a little bit.
He's interested, right? She didn't go as far as to say, I banged your brother. She's just like, I know him really well.
Winky wink.
And he understood. And so he didn't actually dig much further into that because they started talking about something else. They just sort of moved on in the conversation.
Why would you ever move on?
And so he calls me and he goes, hey, man, do you know this girl? He's like, because she said that she slept with you. And I said to him, I have literally never even met that person in real life.
Oh, you've never even met
that person.
It would be one thing if you had, like, maybe worked together.
Right, we had some sort of relationship. We used to hang out together.
But never met.
I knew who the person was from social media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what do we know about this person? Is this person a drunk? Does this person party?
She's super hot.
Okay, no, but what I'm saying is, well, you could be super hot and be a drunken party, but what I'm
why would somebody
that's super hot lie about sleeping with me?
Wait, no, did she?
It's not like that's a prize.
I'm saying, was she fuzzy in the head? Like, no. Did she sleep with somebody who looked a lot like you?
No.
So she really is just trying to be out here break up your marriage.
I just don't.
Not breaking up your marriage.
She's trying to spread rumors that they slept together. No, I think
Dave had a pass before his wife.
No, I was a virgin.
Oh, I just asked. I thought, I'm sorry. I asked earlier if she was saying that you guys hooked up recently.
Oh, no. Recently this happened, but she didn't specify when we hooked up.
So
right?
You could have.
So, no, I mean, I literally have never met that person. Well.
I'm saying that you might have been a little drunk.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea. It's Pop Trash!
Man, I get why she's doing it, because she lost her ass and does not like that. But what is Amber Heard doing filing an appeal in this case with Johnny Depp? I mean, it's a $10.3 million judgment, so I think you kind of have to file an appeal. But at the same time, if you're Amber Heard, you've got to want this to go away, right?
No, I think you just want to try to minimize your cost or how much you're going to owe.
Yeah, but
to get out of it.
The other challenge here is that you're also going to lose more money because lawyers are not cheap, and so you're sitting here filing an appeal.
Well, she paid for cheap lawyers to begin with, which is why she lost that case. Pretty handedly.
Yeah.
This last time around, but I'm not shocked that this is going to appeal. I mean, there was a case over in the UK that she, I don't know if won, but it didn't go Johnny Depp's way. So maybe she thinks that there is a chance that she can win.
I also feel like it's just a bad look because you already lost so many gigs.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't see the upside. You know, it's like it seems like you're just going to double down on your loss. Just can you declare bankruptcy in a situation like that?
What if you don't have the 10 mil?
I mean, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't.
You know who does have 10 mil is Margot Robbie. She's being hailed as the highest paid actress. And they're talking about her $12.5 million for starring in the new Barbie film with Ryan Gosling.
Have you guys seen those photos of her and Ryan Gosling paired side by side walking down the street in their Barbie garb?
No.
I have,
They look amazing?
No.
No?
It looks so
cheesy.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Like, I'm curious to hear the reviews because the promotion that they're going behind this or they're putting behind this online, they're spending a lot of money. So I'm curious to see what a lot of the critics and the audience think.
Can I ask you guys a question? Do you think Ryan Gosling is jumping the shark here?
Yes.
Because Gray Man, which...
Would she not be jumping the shark then?
Well, Ryan Gosling specifically, because up to this point, he's been seemingly like pretty selective about his movies that he's in. But Gray Man, which was just a huge payday, him and Chris Evans, it's the Netflix one where they spent $220 million on it. That is also getting garbage reviews. And then if he's doing Barbie and that also sucks, you're like,
Barbie's either going to be really good or really bad, or so bad that it is good.
Would you like to hear the premise of it? It's Barbie getting kicked out of Barbie Land because she's not perfect enough, and she goes on an adventure only to realize that the key to happiness is belief in oneself.
See, I like Margot Robbie, and so I'm actually surprised she's only getting paid $12.5 million.
That's the same that Gosling's getting paid for it, so they're each getting $12.5 million. And I imagine that they're both getting some of the back end, too.
Also, she's not like, I would think she, at this point, she would be at that like $20 million a movie mark, unless there's like some back end stuff.
There's probably some back end stuff.
I don't like either of them for this role because, Dave, you're right. It does just seem so cheesy.
He doesn't look like Ken
over
either.
The top. He doesn't look like Ken. I think that Margot is fantastic. This feels like a Disney movie to me. I don't know why they have not, like any teen Disney star or like the 20 some Disney star who's still starring in all of those like made for Disney Plus roles. Like, why are they not doing this film? Because I really do. I agree with you, Dave. It's not career ending. It's not like curse suicide by any means, but it definitely makes you just get a bad taste in your mouth. For me, for both of them,
they should have cast Henry Cavill and made him dye his hair bleach blonde.
Yeah.
For Ken, he would.
I mean, perfect.
That casting would have been spot on.
Yeah. So, little Ricky Martin update for you. No, he was not having sex with his nephew.
Are we sure?
Yes. He got dismissed, and the case was dropped, and the whole bit in court. I mean, just a horrific thing to accuse somebody. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, his nephew, I guess, has a series of problems and accuse Ricky Martin of having relations with him. Like, that's just one of the most awful things that you can do to somebody. And that's kind of part of the problem, right, is that once you accuse somebody of this sort of thing,
it just sticks with them forever.
Yeah.
Well, I do think that there is something to be said about believing a victim. You know what I mean? Like, in the case, when you're reading something like that, you go, oh, my God, Ricky Martin did that to his nephew?
Yeah.
But if it's coming out that obviously the case has been dropped and that
he's it's not even the case has been dropped. That guy pulled back his,
the accuser asked for the case to be dismissed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will say that sometimes, and I'm not saying that Ricky Martin actually did this, but, I mean, a lot of times victims do recruit, like, they do go back and backpedal on, this is his
nephew.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you think he was sleeping with his nephew?
Think that a lot of people do sleep with family members, yes.
It's Ricky Martin.
I don't care if it's Ricky Martin or not. I'm not saying Ricky Martin did, but I'm just saying that this would not be the first time that in this instance that a victim has gone and backpedaled. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Ricky Martin did or did not.
But that's what I mean. Is like, even you saying that makes it sound like, well, are we sure? Like, yes, we're sure. Like, victims sometimes take back even if it's true what they're saying, but there's also instances where it's just total BS from the jump, right?
Of course.
And that's what this is. That's what everything sounds like, according to the court and the investigators and the actual individual who made the claims.
That's why instances where people do falsely accuse make it harder for victims later.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm getting at.
And that's kind of the trick, right? It's like, how do you punish people who falsely accuse somebody? Because then you also are stifling people who are afraid that actually are victims to come forward if they can't fully prove it.
It just sucks all the way around.
Umbrella Academy, aren't you a fan of that show?
Yeah, man. I think Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance is the creator of that comic book graphic novel series. I think they've done a really good job. I haven't watched season three yet, but I love season one, season two, and season three is on my to-watch list. I think as far as series on Netflix, right now, that's probably my favorite.
It's number one, and by it beat out Stranger Things on Netflix. But I mean, even if you go across all of the platforms, it's got like five times the amount of viewing as Peaky Blinders.
Wow. Well, I mean, Peaky Blinders is not really for everybody.
Yeah, and it's hard to understand.
It is.
I mean,
hard
I mean, not like literally. You'll understand the story just fine, but I mean, the actual language.
Yeah.
Even though they're speaking English, I have to watch that with subtitles on because I can't understand Cillian Murphy. But also, I don't need to understand him because he says all he needs to say with those eyes.
Beer for Breakfast on Alt 107.5 is presented by Big Dogs Brewing Company, supporting local craft beer in Las Vegas since
1993. Well, right in front. Yes. All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast.
We have made it to another Friday.
Look at us go.
All I want to eat is them barbecue.
We are all employed still.
Amazing.
Maybe.
And we've got new people with us.
Who
new
is
boss,
he?
New producer.
Yeah, look at us.
Yeah, what's going on? So beer just bringing everybody together.
It does feel like we deserve this beer today. You know, we've worked a full week. We are exhausted from actually having to work for a living.
Dealing with Bossy Rossi.
Yeah.
Our new boss, who was our old boss. Is that the thing? Like, meet the new boss, same as the old boss? Is that a saying?
I mean, he is the J-Lo of this radio station, for sure.
He keeps coming back.
Always
so
coming
we're back. The Ben Affleck with the Rising Phoenix tattoo?
That's right.
Damn right. That thing's cool as
hell. Healy 2 coming soon. All right, so we got a fine-looking beer today. Mahoney, is this inspired by your recent vacation?
It was. It was inspired by our trip to Hawaii. I've actually been to this brewery before. I actually did not go to Maui on my last vacation, but I have been to Maui before. This is the Maui Brewing Company's Pineapple Mana Wheat. So that is the...
Can I ask you something? This is a different looking can than a normal can, right?
What do you mean?
It's just, it's like, you like think it's it seems like, you think
it's,
like slightly
it's got, it's got, it's got a couple extra ridges under like where they are.
Oh, it's kind of like ribbed for our pleasure.
It is ribbed because like if you look at it, it's got a couple extra like little shelves going up, but they're
it just
smooth.
Seems a little bit more like
but
short
but
and stout.
But it's a 12-ounce can.
12-ouncer, yeah.
It's a 12-ounce can, but they're putting their own spin on it. The Pineapple Mana Wheat is an American Hefeweizen or Pale Wheat Ale that has 5.5% alcohol by volume. Today being served from that 12-ounce. I think this is a classically styled can. Still got some nice color pop to it that was priced at $11.99. For a six-pack, the five categories in which we rate every single beer here on Beer for Breakfast. Look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. I recommend serving this out of a Weizen glass, a pint glass, or a mug. Serve anywhere 45 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
I do feel like the temperature on this, you pulled it out of the fridge at the right time.
Yep. It's still nice and cold. Right? Yep. This is good warm weather beer.
Yep.
You know, for me, this is not a winter beer. This is a beer, even though this beer is available year-round, for me, this is a summertime beer. Starting off with the look, the Mana Wheat, it's got that, like, semi-hazy shade of, like, a light golden orange.
Dehydrated.
This is not, like... I've had pee way darker than that.
Oh, for sure. Like when you drank about a six-pack of these, and you wake up the next morning, and you go pee?
Oh, no. This is 5.5. My pee looks like that after like a couple like triple IPAs, but this one super, as Dave said, super sessionable, super crushable. A little bit of nice fizzy, bubbly white head that about 2.5 inches on there that just rescinded super quickly and very little lacing on the side of my glass.
It's like you got married.
Yep. Let's move on to the next category, which is the smell of the Maui Brewing Company's Pineapple Mana Wheat.
All right.
Not smells really
getting,
tangy.
Not getting a ton in the nose there. Yeah, pretty muted.
A little bit of wheat.
A little bit
of sweetness in there. As it warms, you get a little bit more of that pineapple. But overall, the nose fairly muted on this particular wheat. Nothing that's either going to super entice you or push you away. So let's move on to our favorite part of Beer for Breakfast, which is the taste. Let's all take a big drink of the Maui Brewing Company's Pineapple Mana Wheat. Cheers, friends.
Cheers.
Cheers. Producer, are you drinking? Are you drinking? Wait, is Producer X drinking out of a... You got a pimp cup in there?
It's like a Renaissance Festival
mug. Yeah, you got a
crumb
cup. What is that?
Insulated cup.
You've got a leather-bound...
It is a leather-bound insulated cup.
Did you bring that specifically in for Beer for Breakfast?
Nice mug.
Yeah, it's a beautiful mug.
Is there beer in there or is it coffee? Yeah. Oh, nice. He's drinking with us.
I actually don't know if you drink or not, so I'm sorry I just like threw a bunch of beer your way. But apparently, he came to drink because that's like a 40-ounce
chalice.
Yeah, no, you would slam that, and then instantly go into battle as a Viking.
Yeah.
Let's take it. Well, we should celebrate his choice in glassware. I'm not washing that, by the way.
You wash it yourself.
You wash that yourself. Let's all take another drink of the Pineapple Mana Wheat from Maui Brewing.
Am I the only one that's not getting a lot of pineapple?
Oh, I feel like this is tangy to me.
This is really? Super tangy.
Yeah.
I
don't get it.
I don't get a lot of pineapple at all.
It's like the only thing I taste.
It's very, it's not like a monstrous amount of pineapple, but
it's more than the wheat. It's more than like the,
to me, this is more of a fruited beer than it is a Hefeweizen.
Yep.
Not at all.
Or American wheat.
Yeah. Taking a little sip.
Okay.
Slosh it around in there.
Like neither of you are getting any pineapple at all. Huh.
Are you talking about like the skin of the pineapple?
No, we're just talking about like pineapple.
There's
you know
a tang,
I mean?
Right?
There's a tang. I actually smelled it whenever you guys said that it was kind of like a muted nose, like I can smell the fruit and I can taste the fruit.
I get so, like not so much, but like.
This is a fruit beer.
Interesting.
To me, it's more fruited than Hefeweizen for sure.
Do you taste more heffy?
what do you get over there, Dave?
It just tastes kind of like a flat hef.
I feel like you burned your. I think you may have burned your taste buds out with that scotch.
Is all the scotch? Is that what it is?
Scotch.
Producer X, what are your thoughts on this beer? Do you like it? Not like it? What are you getting from that taste?
I mean, it's really smooth. It goes down easy. It doesn't have a lingering flavor. I like the mouthfeel, but it's got no like strong punch with flavor.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of character.
I don't agree. Audrey, I'm curious to see what your take is because I feel like I'm leaning more towards you this time around.
This is a bathing suit beer, first of all. This is a beer that you can take to the beach, to the pool, on your new boat.
I don't disagree with any of that. It's super easy drinking. Yeah.
But whenever I am drinking this, you know, and I actually, sometimes whenever I drink Kef, sometimes they have that, like, I don't want to say sunscreen taste. It's the only way I can describe it. Sometimes the Hefs, they just have this weird, like, back-end taste.
That banana or bubble gum that's like a sweetness.
I don't like it. This is something that almost, I don't know if the pineapple cancels that taste out, but this is definitely a fruit-forward beer to me, and I'm getting tang.
Yeah, and you're not getting that kind of, like, bitterness now after the fact?
No.
Because I'm getting a little bit of, like, lingering bitterness.
That, like, sunscreen-y. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like, you know, and everyone's like, why do you know what sunscreen tastes like? We've all been in the pool after it's dripped into your mouth.
Yep.
And there's that weird taste that gets in the back of your, like, of your throat. And that's kind of what Hefs do to me sometimes.
You know, for me, the flavor kind of follows the nose. You get that sweetness up front, a little bit of tanginess in there. There are light wheat and the banana's not really there. But, I mean, you do get, you know, shades of a Hefeweizen. But to me, that tanginess, that pineapple, that sweetness are all kind of the biggest note that I'm getting in here. The little slight tartness on the finish, zero alcohol in this beer. No. I mean, you are not tasting any alcohol in this one, and that's why Audrey's saying this is a bathing suit beer for me. The mouthfeel, light to medium. It's not light, but it's not medium. So it's just, I would say, you know, like two ticks above light as far as that go. Crisp, refreshing, and overall just like a very good mouthfeel. The drinkability, I think this is a very solid beer. The price point, I think, is okay. It's not.
What was it for a six-pack?
$11.99, $12.99 is what you're paying in there. But you are getting a six-pack, but it is a 5.5%.
I would pay $12 for this beer for a six-pack.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a great boating beer, as Audrey said, perfect for a nice weekday, or this could actually, you know, maybe accent a lighter dinner that you may be having, something, you know, maybe
like a
fish.
Or like a grilled chicken, with like a grilled pineapple on top. Yeah. Wowza.
But overall, I really like this beer, and I think that most people will like this as well. I think my warning is you may not be blown away like our producer and Dave.
There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's like you said, very easy drinking.
Yep.
It's at 5.5%, so it's not like it's going to get you ripped up or anything.
It's a good party beer.
Yep.
It's a good party beer. To me, it's just boring. It's just there's nothing that really stands out.
I actually kind of like that about it. I like the tartness, but overall, I think it's a very good beer. Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
You bet.
Oh, Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy. I give the Maui Brewing Company Pineapple Mono Wheat a 3.8 out of 5.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Do people really just walk out of the shower and put on a bathrobe while soaking wet? That's the most insane thing. Does that really happen?
Message deleted.
My wife does that.
Depends on the fabric, I would say.
My wife doesn't have a towel. She does not a body towel. She has a hair towel, but she does not have a body towel that she uses. She has a terry cloth robe.
That would drive me insane. I've got the same system down, arm, leg.
Then you ride the butt floss with
that's
the,
right.
Yeah.
Mine,
ride like a horse.
Mine changes all the time.
Your routine?
So it's actually really funny because I thought whenever I was even in the shower, I thought that I had a specific routine. But it depends on whether or not it's a hair wash day or if I am leaving in my conditioner longer or not. Like, because if that's the case, then like I'll shave, but also like it's like armpit, leg, armpit. Like I go in a circle sometimes.
See,
that totally changes. Well, yeah, I would too, usually and normally. But like I'm realizing that it's total chaos and pandemonium. And whenever I get out of the shower.
So I understand why it changes, though, but the out of shower thing?
Out of shower also changes.
Like, if I mess up my routine at all, I will just straight up forget to like dry my legs. Like it's, I'll be like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like what? I can't.
So sometimes if I've got to get ready, it'll be robe.
You go robe
like if it's
too?
Like weekend getting ready.
I don't even have a robe.
Ah, what?
No, I don't have a robe either.
Most robes aren't big enough for me.
Yeah, my wife doesn't have a robe either. I don't allow it.
The spa ones don't fit you. The long spa ones.
No, because I wanted a robe for a long time.
Those spa ones are legit.
They are. They,
it's like when
totally
you stay at like a fancy hotel and you're like, I'm going to steal this robe.
You're
and
like a king.
My nuts always hang too low.
Your nuts do not hang too low for a robe.
They do.
Dragging on the ground.
I'm old, man.
What are you, Hugh Hefner? Are you wearing one of those little, you know what I'm talking about?
They're cut right above the thigh.
Yeah.
No, it's because I've got such a large midsection and, you know, like, that's why.
But Mahoney,
I don't have long legs. I've got a long torso.
You're not that big. You elude like you are so wide.
You're just a
normal size dude.
I'm a normal size. Man, I am much taller than the average man.
Okay, but you say that you're like super heavy, and you're not.
Well, I'm not saying it's super heavy. I'm overweight, but I'm not like morbidly overweight.
No.
Not yet. I'm working
technically,
on it.
Robes fit you.
Now,
if you ask a doctor, technically I'm morbidly obese.
What do doctors know?
Yeah, what do you know?
You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know me.
You haven't even died yet, doctor.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. What do you know?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Is it just me, or does Tinder feel like when you wear a tuxedo for an interview for a job that pays $2 an hour?
Message deleted.
It does fit. It is. Have you guys seen? So I did not know this. Again, I'm not on dating apps like that, but I saw recently, and I feel like it's kind of Hinge. That's what Hinge is, where you can now do voice memos as a part of your profile. So like, they'll ask you questions. So it's kind of like a legitimate interviewing process where it's like, what's something quirky about you? And you can respond like,
I feel like those are such, God, if you ask those questions in an interview. Hold up, like, because we have a new producer, and we interviewed him, four or five times? A bunch of times we talked.
Three times.
On top of phone conversations as well. Those were interviews as well. Did we ask any stupid questions in there that were like, why are you asking me this?
No, like, everything was pretty straightforward and streamlined.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've tried to, like, tell me what your strengths are. Nobody's going to tell you the truth or what your weaknesses are.
It's
a way that they answer it. Like, that's what you're getting to.
Yes. It's like, is your answer so dumb? Because I actually had a girlfriend of mine who was going through an interviewing process, and she was like, I know they're going to ask me what my weaknesses are. And she was like, I'm just going to talk
I
about
work
how.
Too hard.
No, she didn't even, she wanted to
I
be
care
honest.
Too much.
She wanted to be honest. She was like, I don't do well under pressure. And I was like, no. That is like, you're applying for a doctor's office. Like, what are you doing?
I don't like fast-paced environments, and I can't use Word.
End this now. Thank you.
Need more Dave and Mahoney? Be sure to follow them on social media at Dave and Mahoney and visit DaveandMahoney.com.
Fabulous.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.